Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
This is the Scummy Mummies podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Scummy Mummies podcast. I'm Ellie Gibson.
And I'm Helen Thorne.
And we are joined by McNeil and Pamphilon.
Hooray!
I didn't know what to do then at that moment.
No, that didn't come across though.
Okay,
you're fine.
That's fine.
Nobody will guess.
You can edit that.
Yes.
You can edit
that.
Get it in the end.
Good. It's fine. And we're doing a sort of go 8-bit special for this episode. Mm. So what? I tell you what, Steve. Why don't you explain what is a go 8-bit?
A go 8-bit is it was a live video gaming comedy show, and now it is a television video gaming comedy show that you are in, and we are also in.
Am I in it?
Loads.
Oh,
you're very funny.
Go. Oh, well, there we are. Who'd have thunk it?
I am not in it. I just want to make that very clear.
You were in an episode of the spin-off, which has not been recommissioned.
No, thanks to you, specifically, the channel. We're at pains to point out that was entirely your fault.
So we're in this TV show, which is actually, to give it its full title now, is...
Dara O'Brien's Go 8-Bit.
That's right. And when this goes out, you'll be able to watch Dara O'Brien's Go 8-Bit with me and Steve and Sam. Yep. On Dave at 10 o'clock
definitely,
on Monday night.
Definitely the after
drinks. I just don't need to be here.
You do.
Oh, you do. Right. Yes. I'll watch while you all blow smoke up each other's arses. I think that's where we're going to go.
I don't know if that's how it's going to go.
Based on having filmed 3 series, I don't think that's how this is going to go.
All right. Maybe all the smoke is gone.
Plenty of arses.
Loads of arse.
So much arse. Good.
Loads of arse. Now, of course, listeners, you will have gathered by now that Sam and Steve, McNeil and Pamphilon, are a comedy double act.
Oh, no.
Yes. What's that like?
It's all right now because we see each other much less. When we were doing live gigging, we were together all the time and got sick of each other. But now we only see each other on special occasions, which is lovely.
It's kind of a weird thing because, as you all know, because you've been going about as long, I think, roughly, we're like year 9 or 10?
Year 5? Are we coming up to year 5?
Oh, right. Yeah. So, oh, my God, you're going up to the halfway. Oh,
18th of June, Sam, is our 10th anniversary from our first live gig.
I hate that you know that.
I just remember dates.
I hate that you know that. You've probably got a USB in your pocket with a recording of it on.
I absolutely have. We'll play it now.
No, don't. So it's a lovely thing, being a double act, because you do kind of have... But it is a very kind of... what's those relationships that you're not supposed to have?
Incestuous?
No, those are quite sexy.
camera.
When you really, oh God, what's it called? You're responsible, you're dependent. Codependency.
Codependent. Yeah.
So it does become a bit like a codependent relationship in the sense that you kind of, or a marriage in the sense that you kind of become the roles that you define for yourself.
Mm.
So for example, we always point out that Steve, where he lives in Milton Keynes, was actually quite a cool guy and a bit of a risk taker.
But really?
In Milton Keynes.
All right.
But in the double act, he became the sort of the stiff,
geeky office man.
Office guy.
Yeah.
And I was, at the time of joining the double act, I was just like a heavily in debt.
Working in a pub.
Working in the pub party animal.
Yeah.
And so then mine was true. But then but then what happens is that when it comes to doing admin and things, Steve would be like, "You're gonna do that?" And you're like, "Of course I'm not gonna do it. I'm wacky." So he ends up doing all the admin and I end up doing all the crazy feeling stuff.
Wow. What actually is that? What's crazy feeling stuff, Sam?
So it's like, hey, let's do a sketch about krill.
He keeps going on about this krill sketch he's got an idea for.
I want to do a sketch about krill.
Adamant.
Are you serious?
No, he is. Yeah,
so who's going to play the whale?
Sam will be krill.
No, it's like, George, you don't see the krill. We're krill. We're some krill.
Krill.
And the whole...
Are you high?
No. The whole idea of the thing would be that this is one piece of krill that is talking to another piece of krill. One piece of krill is a psychiatrist and one is not. And they're saying, I don't feel like I'm very important. And it turns out that they are... No one is a krill. You're just some krill.
There's no sense of identity as krill.
Is it like the Borg in Star Trek Next Generation?
A little bit. And like one krill is just like, I want more. Yeah. As krill.
And I think if anything, this illustrates why we've moved away from sketch comedy.
Yeah.
I mean, it's getting funnier the more you explain it.
I've really got into a hole there.
So how did you two meet in the first place?
We had the same agent. We got put together like a shit boy band. But also, our relationship was some sort of weird sex commune where there were 15 people, then 6 people, and just everyone slowly left. And then it was just...
So we weren't a double act.
We were a group of people where everyone else couldn't bear to work with us. And so we became a double act by default.
Which is like going into like an Eyes Wide Shut party, everyone fucking. And by the end of it, there's 2 people left just going, might as well get married. I don't think anyone liked us.
No.
Yeah, so that's what happened.
But then something out of that ugliness grew something lovely.
Well, it was very lovely. And as you'll know, working with each other, is that there was a moment where every time I'd ever try to write with anyone, friends or anything like that, and I'd sort of say, well, I think this should happen. They go, yeah. And then a camel walks in and I go, no! No, camel! And in my head, I'm thinking, it's like, you idiot, everything you're saying is wrong.
Yeah.
And Steve was the first person that ever went, oh, then this could happen. I go... Yes, that could happen. That would be a good idea. And then,
same sensibility, although I've nurtured that too much, and now it's all krill stuff.
Yeah, it's very much
krill based.
I'm entering my krill phase.
Yeah. Not a krill based comedy. Netflix and krill, I like it.
Nice.
Good, yeah.
We didn't think of that one earlier. We did everything else with krill.
Of course we did.
Netflix and krill, thank you.
Netflix and krill.
Oh, come on.
That's the punchline.
Yeah.
It is now. In the absence of one, it'll have to be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
All right.
That's your Netflix special named as well. Because you'll definitely get one.
Yeah.
You'll definitely get one. So together you are McNeil and Pavlon. You started out doing the sketch comedy, and then did you realise that video games comedy was the future?
Series 3 of Go 8-Bit, probably. No, we didn't really, because it wasn't... we were talking to someone about it today and just sort of saying how you work really hard at one thing, and then the thing that you do by accident becomes more of the thing that's going to work.
Mm.
And it probably took less effort, in a way. So, yeah, we were just going to Edinburgh 1 year, and it was going to be our 4th year there, and we hadn't written a show, and what we'd written was dreadful. Steve just listed some paints.
It was a very good sketch about paint. It's better than the krill thing. The idea for the sketch...
God. No, it's not.
I feel like we could get a sketch off the back of this. People are listening. So the idea for the sketch, right, was that people would be in a room, and they just sort of go, misty glade, and then all ponder for a bit, and they'd keep listing things, and eventually someone would just go... Why don't we just go with white paint? And it could have been incredible.
But it wasn't.
We decided not to spend $10,000 on that show. And, just
I
do great
think instance. That was a good choice.
I disagree.
Well.
So instead...
Well, Steve had this idea. He said, well, if we go up and do a show, how about weekends? We get a little room and we just stick a Nintendo into a projector.
Get comedians pissed. And
play video games and see if anyone comes along to it. And then the Great Bit Show did really well. And it sold out and we had to add extra dates and...
It's crazy.
Who knew people liked video games? I mean,
Steve did.
It's kind of a thing, isn't it?
Well, I remember Steve teaching me about video games and me just kind of going, no, no. And in Korea, they will have entire stadiums full of people playing video games. No. What are you talking about? This is mental. And adults play them. No. Why? No. I didn't realise. I stopped playing when I was 14.
Out. Yeah.
I stopped playing when I was 14. I just figured it's what 14-year-old people did.
Then you got the telly show. Dara O'Brien became involved. People always ask me what Dara is like in real life, and I always say, well, he's dreadful, isn't he? He's absolutely awful, completely unbearable.
Yeah. And he actually has quite long hair, and he deliberately puts it under a bald, kind of short-haired cap.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know why he does that.
And he's actually from Beckenham. He's not even Irish.
He's a very broad Beckenham accent as well.
Yeah, his name's Ian Johnson in real life.
I think you might have just run into a guy called Ian Johnson and assumed that was your boss.
So for anyone who hasn't seen Dara O'Brien's Go 8-Bit, Dara O'Brien, obviously, is the host. You two are the team captains. Mm-hmm. And I'm sort of like dictionary call. I'm sort of Rachel Riley. Would you say more Riley or Vorderman, Thor?
I'll take either. I think you're more Vorderman. I think you got more sass.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, not that Rachel Riley hasn't got sass.
Riley's got sass.
But you're just more Vorderman, I think. Yeah. Clever, you know.
Although, ironically, I'm shit at maths.
I think it's more... I feel like it's more... Susie Dent. And I'll and let me tell you for why.
Yes.
Because I think the Vorderman role was originally created as quite a sort of submissive lady putting up the numbers for you, a pit girl. That's very trendy, isn't it? air hostess. So current. It was like an air hostess type thing.
Yes.
Oh, here you are, sir.
Your numbers. Oh, aren't you lucky? Wink.
And I think Vorderman turned that into, actually...
Bite back.
I'm a sexy lady. Here's your numbers.
She's got the smarts.
You goddamn bastard. Here's your numbers.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah.
Like that. I would say you're more Susie Dent in the sense that you are there for your knowledge.
I mean, yeah, but you would, though.
Dent?
Yeah.
I'd cause one.
I'd cause one?
I don't know. I've never said that before.
That was lovely, though. It was amazing. It doesn't matter.
Cause a dent. I don't know.
Yeah, it sounded like
everything sounds like sex if you say it a certain way.
I'd cause one. Oh. I like that. I'm going to put that on a t-shirt.
The setup for the game is there's Dara's sort of the announcer, Ellie's the brains, you guys are the team captains, and you get some well-known faces to play some video games.
Yep.
Blah, 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 5 rounds. Yay!
that was the pitch.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a big prop at the end. Yeah.
Guys, I'm suspecting you don't have anything in the middle. No. Look, Dara, team captains, guests, blah, 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 5 rounds, end. Come on! TV gold!
Yeah. Done!
So Ellie sometimes, because she's got the smarts, has to come in and sort you guys out because she knows how to play things.
I will say there is a moment coming up in this series, I won't spoil it, but there is a moment involving me and the SNES version of Aladdin, which I very much enjoyed.
Very pleasant.
That was wonderful. Yes.
A wonderful moment.
We've had lots of celebrity guests on the show. Who's been your favourite, Steve?
On the Great Bits? Yeah. I fell in love with Vernon Kay. We got on really nicely.
Did you?
Yeah. Although he stopped replying to me on Twitter now, so I'm sad.
He's what, sorry?
Stop replying to me on Twitter. We're having loads of chats on DMs.
Oh.
He might be busy, but I miss him. Vernon, if you're listening, please
reply. Did you
reply.
Get too friendly? Did you start being like, oh, what you did? Maybe 5
it's
Saturday.
Tricky,
maybe
isn't it?
Now
it's
5 o'clock. Yeah, you got too over friendly.
It's tricky, isn't it?
Dick
pics. That'll do it.
Oh, did you DM?
You muffed it.
Did you DM?
Absolutely muffed it. Yeah.
What about you, Sam? Who's been your...
Well, I was... Do you know what? The day I was probably most excited was the day that Greg Wallace was there.
Greg Wallace was
it was amazing.
Yeah.
It was the most exciting day for me because I do love MasterChef. And it was Greg Wallace and
Jodie Kidd,
who I knew about but didn't know much about her personally.
Mm.
And she was amazing.
Yeah,
just a really industrious person.
And really knew her shoot games as well.
Really knew her shoot games. Loved. And she, I said, well, just before we started filming, I said, can you tell me all your cars? and she did. And I was just like, oh. She's like, oh yeah, but it's a fucking fill up. £105 every time. And he does 10 miles per gallon. I'm like, just tell me more. More about the cars. But it was very, like, she was just a very kind of loving, nice person with a very nice kind of posh, soothing
voice.
Yeah,
she's lovely.
I really liked her.
Mm.
And Greg was mental. Because Greg talks in jokes. And you never realise it. Because on MasterChef, he's all like, bang, 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 you've got 10 minutes! And like that. But in person, he just comes up to you and goes, you meet him, and you go, oh, hi, Greg, I'm Sam. He goes, how do you make a lemon orgasm? And you go, what? He goes, tickle it citrus. And he walks off.
Yeah,
and Jodie Kidd comes up and he goes, I've forgotten what he was like. They got on well.
He was great. I remember having an actual argument with him, like quite an intense argument in the green room about whether the crisps were spring onion flavour or chive flavour.
Right.
And then just suddenly having one of those moments of, what are you doing? What you arguing with Greg Wallace about crisps? What's happened to your life? It was good.
Can I tell you my Greg Wallace story?
Go ahead.
Okay, so this is the third series of the show we're filming. So at this point, we've done and filmed another series. So you've got no idea, like, do you know what? Once this all comes out, am I going to be a popular person? Or am I still like a nobody? Or what is going on? Anyway, so Greg's coming on. I used to be a chef. He has a Celebrity MasterChef. I'm thinking, if one day I'm able to go on Celebrity MasterChef, that would absolutely blow my mind. So I go into his dressing room. I knock on the door. I was like, so I started talking to him, saying, I used to actually be a cook and I love the show. And he said, where did you used to work? I said, well, I actually used to work at Stringfellows. And he went, I used to deliver veg to Stringfellows. Little Roger used to work there. I said, you're talking about my old head chef, Roger. And he said, yeah, little Roger. I said, he wasn't little when I left. He'd be quite a big lad. And so we got to talking. It was getting really great. I was like, oh, I just love cooking. I love the MasterChef programs. Bye-bye. He goes, and he leads across. And he goes, tell you what. I'll tell you what. I'm thinking,
Here we go.
I've done it.
Oh, I'm in.
I've kissed just enough dick to make something work for once in my life. The schmoozing's paid off. And he goes, get in touch with my PA on Twitter. She's called Greg's PA.
And of course she fucking is. Of course she is.
She will send you Let her know that I sent you, and she'll send you a MasterChef apron. And I was just like, thank you. Thank you so much. No, the thing is, his job isn't to cast the programme. It's not his job. But it's just, I stupidly just, in that moment, went, oh my God.
It's happening.
It's happening.
You reach the brow of the roller coaster. It's happening. It's happening. Oh, it's just flat. Oh, yeah, no, it's nothing happening.
Did you get the apron?
No.
I couldn't get the apron. Although now anybody listening knows that they've just got to tweet Greg's PA and say, "Hello, Greg said give me an apron."
Yeah. The only reason I haven't, to be perfectly honest, is just because I'm too lazy.
Just for the gaming nerds who are listening, what's your favourite game, each of you?
Mine is Minecraft. I spent way more time on Minecraft than anything else ever. Talking about this again earlier today. Yeah. But,
the music is excellent.
The soundtrack on it is incredible. I've actually bought the soundtrack on vinyl, green vinyl.
Oh, Steve.
And it's beautiful.
Wow.
It's amazing. It's
illuminating. Wow.
It's incredible. It's beautiful. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
Did your wife approve that purchase?
I did not ask. And it was not cheap.
Oh, God, that's
separate
the
bank
thing.
Account. Separate bank account. Yeah. It's a secret to a long marriage. Separate bank account.
And Samuel?
And whatever I've played most recently, but I will still say probably Battlefield 1. I thought it was really good.
You loved Battlefield 1. You liked being a pigeon, didn't you?
I love being a pigeon.
Ellie, you've got to nerd up and tell them what you've been playing. Even when I'm talking to you.
What are you playing?
Happy Cafe.
Yes.
Okay,
see
you game.
Is that like your?
Is that the same one? Is that the same one?
So no, that's not Happy Cafe.
To explain what we're talking about, when
did you complete Cooking Fever?
You can't complete Cooking Fever.
But you got out. Did you have to go to rehab for it?
He's got a bit twitchy.
Happy Cafe the methadone to cook and cook?
So just to explain, when we were filming the last series of Go 8-Bit, there's quite a lot, when you're rehearsing, there's quite a lot of sitting around, there's quite a lot of downtime, and I used to bring my iPad down, and I used to play this game called Cooking Fever, where all you have to do is like make burgers or pasta, or it depends which restaurant you're in, obviously.
Obviously.
And I was fucking obsessed with this game, and then I did have to stop playing it because it was just silly. Yep. And then recently I discovered Happy Cafe, which is from the people who brought you Cooking Fever.
Oh, is it the sequel to Cooking Fever?
It's the sequel to Cooking Fever. And this time, not only are you running a cafe, but you have a little fucking farm, so you grow your own ingredients.
It's a hipster cafe.
Well, you know.
Locally sourced food.
It's brilliant.
If this game was in VR, would you die in it in a nappy?
I mean, that's my dream.
Yeah.
That's my goal. Yeah. So there's that to look forward to. What's your favourite game, Josh?
I like Sonic Number 1. I'm just a classic.
Sonic number one.
What?
There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that.
What is wrong with saying Sonic Number 1?
I'm also a big fan of The Land of Mario. I don't know if you've played that one.
Why is that a diss? I don't understand. That's all right that you don't. That's your job in the show.
Sonic the Hedgehog, the classic Sega game.
Well done.
I always say Sega because that's how we said it in Australia.
But that's fundamentally wrong.
Yeah.
Apparently. But you accept that now?
Yes. Because
surely on the cartridge in Australia, when you turn them on, it still went Sega. Like, they couldn't have been clearer.
No, you turn it on as well as like, Sega! You fucking loonies! It's Sega! All on a bloody wobble ball.
No, you can't go there.
Oh, no, really? No, is that racist?
No, Harris.
Oh, we don't blame Australia.
Well, some of us do.
You produced him, but we incubated that cat.
We did.
Anyway, what's your favourite film? The Godfather Number 2. Good times.
I stand by it. Sonic Number 1 is my favourite
Sonic
game.
Number 1?
Yes.
It's a good game.
It's the dingle of the rings.
Yeah. The ring dingle.
I spent a lot of time on that.
The ring dingle.
It was so fast. And the power up.
And you could do that in the first one, could you?
What?
Or is that's number 2.
No, number 2.
Number two.
Yeah. Sonic Number 2.
Yeah. I was going to say, otherwise I would have been a lot better at Sonic Number 1 if I'd
been
Sonic
Number 2.
Oh, good times.
On the Mega Drive. Yes,
the Mega Drive.
Was it just called the Mega Ute?
So series 3 of Go 8-Bit is on the telly right now, Monday night, so you can watch it.
Yep.
So, guys, we're on a parenting podcast, apparently. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's do some dad chat.
Mm.
Gladly.
You guys started off as a double act before you became parents. So,
pre-sex.
Yes. And so now you've had two, Sam.
I've got two.
Your wife's had two, I should say. You were.
I put two in her with my magic stick.
was so nice. And
so then, romantic.
And Steve, you've got one?
I have one. I have a 2-year-old daughter, yeah.
Lovely. And so how has that changed you? Let's talk about that.
I'm very tired now.
Yeah.
Mm.
The end.
That's it.
Just always tired. No, it's actually really, really helped because my wife had the kids on the 17th of December. And the TV show got commissioned in January, just after Christmas. So I had a newborn baby and a TV show to do at the same time. So it was Red Bull. I literally, yes. I went to Tesco's beginning of January, bought all the Red Bull they had in Tesco's, put it in the fridge and just kept doing that for about 6 months.
And
it was chaos.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, I mean, it's weird.
Everything came at once, literally, like your...
Well, no, me 9 months earlier.
Yes. But, so Sam, you had children first. So
I did, I went.
Oh, well done.
And you've got two.
Two boys.
So you win, obviously. But did you impart your fatherly knowledge onto Steve? You know, you were the first in?
No, because he sort of didn't want to listen. Steve has this thing where, I mean, Steve loves me very much, and he always will look out for me. But if I'm interested in something that is outside of what we talk about,
yeah,
whether it's kids,
my car, the stock market,
yes,
investments, guitar effects, pedals, anything like that. This is his reaction. He hates it.
Oh.
So he doesn't listen to
me. I'm someone who did a management degree, so I know about the stock market. I own lots of guitar pedals because I inherited a load of guitars and guitar pedals. But it's when Sam talks also, about things, he knows what he's talking about. I only learned to drive
7 months ago, and I talk about that a lot.
Whenever he's in my car, he insists that he helps me change gears every single time he gets in the car. No, it's not nice. He's nearly 40.
This is what my wife said. My wife said, I can't wait until you can drive and you can do those long journeys and I can sleep in the passenger seat and just look after the kids. Like, that was idyllic. Now I drive. Driving is so much better than having to turn around in the passenger seat. I've got two kids. One wants the iPad. The iPad's falling over this or this or this. Oh, I want chocolate. I want milk. Look, Daddy, look. And like this. And I'm crying. I've dropped my dummy. All the dummies on the floor to get it. We have to stop at the service station, wash all the dummies. Do you know what? Being the driver is infinitely better. Because you can actually do this. Please, can you sort that out, darling? Because she's done that to me a million times. Now, the thing is that now that she's the passenger, she can't relax. Mm. So I go on the journey and I get pooped from driving because it's quite pooping.
Yeah.
And then she's absolutely knackered because she's watching me like this. And every time I indicate, she puts her hand on the door like that. So she is far more tired. So she's got the kids.
And she's got like the frontal lobe thing.
She's got the kids.
Yeah.
Her head is going insane.
Yeah.
She's worried about the driver. She's worried about the kids. Mm. She doesn't sleep.
Wow. So is being a dad kind of what you expected, Steve, before it?
I don't know why. We sort of, I mean, not to get serious, I'll sort of brush it, but we genuinely didn't believe until we had Ella that we would, because we had a miscarriage before we had Ella, and so at no point during the pregnancy did we really ever think about the reality of having a human being living in the house that needed looking after.
Mm.
So it hit us very hard trying to work out what on earth to do when Ella turned up.
Oh, yeah.
So the first 3 months were just absolute chaos as we realised we actually had to keep a human alive, because we just didn't think we would. So
do you think that was a direct effect of miscarriage then? You were just so focused on the pregnancy and getting...
And the nursery to this day hasn't actually been decorated all kiddie, because until she was born, we just didn't touch it for like a risk of jinxing it. So she just lives in an industrial estate with a cot in it.
She won't remember.
Oh, she doesn't care. She couldn't care less. But so because of all the drama around that before we had Ella, we just never really went anywhere near it. So the first 3 months was going, oh no, we've actually got to be parents now.
Yeah, get those nappies, get some milk.
But that's a piece of piss. You know, they shit in a nappy. You get them, you put them in a bath, they put some shampoo on their heads.
They take you through it. I mean, they are quite...
They are, yeah.
What I was just saying, like, basically, like, kids are like MacBooks.
Mm.
That you take them out of the box and you get all excited and they turn up and then you turn them on, they kind of go, yeah, you don't need to do anything just yet, just leave me be. You're like, fine, okay, I'll leave you be. And it's like, hey, you might want to set up your email. And you're like, I will set up my email. Oh, hey, do you want to connect to Messenger with your phone? I do want to do this. Right. And it gets deeper and deeper and more complicated. And before long, you're going, you know, why won't my emails push? Why can't I get my text messages on my computer anymore? Why does this not work? Why does that not? Because it's just too much stuff. But at the beginning, it's fine. It's sort of virus-free. Yeah.
Mm.
But as it gets older and older, it sort of gets
got opinions and stuff.
Because you haven't body trained yet, have you?
No, not yet, no.
Did you find that hard?
My oldest is 3.5, and he's got that anal retention thing where he's holds in his shits and he's terrified about having a shit. So we've got him on, what's it called, Movicol, which is like really harmless. I spoke to the GP, I was like, how long can he be on this? He's like, oh, mate, forever. Like, don't worry, don't worry. He goes, just keep doing it until he's normal. Right, fine. So we hide it. So every now and then we're like, which is so it's like a powder you dissolve.
So is it like a laxative? Is it?
It's basically like a laxative. Mild one. Okay. But it's basically you smash them with it if they've got fecal impaction. But he won't. You can't drink it in milk or water because it tastes. So the only way we can do it is go, Emerson, do you want a pub orange juice?
So it's amazing.
It's the orange juice you get when you go to a pub, and he gets the straw. He goes, "I will have a pub orange juice." And so he has the pub, and you can't taste it in there with all
the goodness.
And you can get one or two in there, and then so what tends to happen is you get into bed with him at night. So we're in bed with him at the moment because our house is being done. So no one, we're all sleeping in the same room. It's horrific.
The roof went wrong.
Everything went wrong with the home.
Yeah.
So you get into bed with him and you like move him over because he takes it and you think, and you feel his backside and it's just like someone has put a baseball in there. Fucking baseball.
I'm clenching. I'm involuntarily clenching.
But the thing is, and at the beginning when he was really, really like backed up and wouldn't go, he's like put him over asleep and you take, and it is so bad because you think shit's bad, but shit is so much worse than when it's gone off.
Shit goes off quick.
Oh my God.
You want to get it fresh. Yeah,
like as soon as it's made, it's bad. It's like goat's cheese. As soon as it's there, it's got a tang.
Eat it. You
got
to eat it. You got to eat it straight.
You don't want to leave that in someone's anus for a week. And so it comes, and it's so, and you're just kind of going, so horrific, and the amount of nappy bags. Oh, it makes you wish you'd bought expensive ones. The amount of nappy bags, like 30.
You need like a bag for life.
You need one of those bags you put bowling balls in.
I think you need to burrow it. I think it has a half life. I don't think it can stay in this country. I think I need to sell them to China.
You need one of those yellow buckets.
Sort of bunker. I've never smelt or seen anything like it.
And that's me saying that.
Yeah. Wow.
Now we always get asked, how do we juggle a career and motherhood, which drives us up the fucking wall because no one ever asks men how they juggle it. So
I wish they would.
Let's redress the balance by doing thing we hate.
Yep.
And say, hey guys, how do you juggle your career and fatherhood?
I'll just get the wife to do it.
There we are.
I wish someone would. It's hard. Because doing what I do, if like I'm in a long spell now of not having a huge amount of work, so there's huge amounts of stresses there. You're paying for the childminder, you're filling in for all the times when they're not there, which is quite a lot. Mm. And so, yeah, it is really hard. It's never easy. Even when you've got your routine down, like even when you're absolutely smashing it, it's not easy. It's just you kind of like every now and then you get to bed with your wife and you go, we're smashing it, we're doing all right, we're doing okay, this is okay, you know, everything's all right. The rest of the time it feels like it's constant, just crisis, underlying crisis all the time.
Yeah.
And that is what you learn, is that is copable. But you have to kind of, but if there's an issue with outside family or with friends or with each other, then it's very easy for it all to become too much really quickly.
Yeah.
So if anything, it's taught me that it spurred me on career-wise. It spurred me on to work harder. I still don't work hard enough, I don't think. But because it's not about me anymore, I can live with being poor, but I don't want my kids not to have a house to live in. So it's made me work a little bit harder, I think.
So but it actually makes me more productive, because before, like when we were just doing sketch comedy and there wasn't any kids or any pressure, we'd do some gigs and we'd do Edinburgh once a year and blah 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 blah. Whereas now I know that I've got to make 7 YouTube videos a week, and I've got to do 6 streams a week, and I've got to finish a short film script with another guy by the time the series finishes. I'm going to be running the 0 to 5K thing. So all of a sudden, I would never have done any of those things before kids. But there's something about compartmentalising your day that makes you go, well, actually, I've got 2 hours there. That's enough time to get an hour of admin done and go for a run.
So up your alley as well, mate.
I love admin. I love all. Well, that's where Gibson comes on.
This is where it's hell for me, because my wife is like that. My wife loves having a list and kind of going, this is today.
It's life by spreadsheet.
Yeah, but I genuinely wish I was like that. Mm. I genuinely wish I do. Years ago, I used to romanticise the way I was. But there's a point where no one finds it funny anymore.
It starts being charming when you hit your mid-30s.
Yeah. It's like, hey, but look, I'm crazy. It's like, yeah, but you need to...
You're a mess. For the love of God, money.
Grow up! Yeah.
Okay, right. So very, very hard to change the pattern of a lifetime and to become someone different.
Yeah. Well, especially when it's been celebrated.
I'm just really waiting for someone to turn around and go, no, Sam, you be you.
Yeah.
But so far, no one's saying that. Everyone's saying, yeah.
very quickly, so if we like a nugget, don't we? We like a nugget of wisdom.
Nutshell. You want to see his kid.
So if you could go back in time and talk to...
Nice, like the pre-kids,
Steve, what would be, knowing what you know now, what would be your nugget of wisdom?
What, if I could talk to pre-kid me? I can't, it's that cliche, but I can't believe how much time I wasted, given how much I'm managing to get done in an average week, in terms of trying to move my career forward and all those things. I can't believe how much we didn't do. Get on with it. There's so much hours in a week, and it's so easy to not use any of them. Where, I can't believe how much time we didn't use.
Pan for long?
Well, for me, it's the same, but...
Less crisps.
Eat less crisps. That's a pretty succinct nugget.
No, so for me, it'd be kind of similar, but at the same time, I want to go back to my previous me and be all sensible and say, look, you've got more time, you'll never know what free time is again. Really make the most of it, but also... fuck all that and just really enjoy yourself, because it's going to get quite tough for a little bit.
Yeah.
So I think I'd just probably not visit my previous self and just let him get on with it. Yeah.
What about you, Ellie?
He'd ask a lot of questions.
What would you say to pre-kids, Ellie? Because I never met her.
I'd probably just say, just get pissed more because, you know.
Yeah.
No, but I never really did healthy eating or fitness or stuff, which I'm sort of getting into now because I can't be hungover all the time because I'm just too tired.
It's easier when you can't handle it.
That's what we all do.
The millennials, they are having less sex than any generation before.
See, this upsets me.
They're going out less, they're not having sex.
Because I kind of think about people and I think, they're just be fucking all the time.
No, they're
not.
They
just want to fuck.
So these kids aren't going out and getting trashed, so none of them are having sex.
No, because do you know why? Because of all the selfie culture.
And internet porn as well.
Yes. What's that about?
Can I just say, we sound like we have a combined age of 479.
Like, hello, the young
people. It's the selfie culture, I think. It's the selfie culture.
No.
Dick pics!
No, but people wouldn't take pictures of their penis and then go down to the local pharmacy.
You wouldn't be allowed, because they wouldn't give you the camera back. Not that I know.
But like, even disposable things. So you couldn't do that, could you?
My wife and I took some rude pictures drunk on a snappy snap camera, forgotten we'd done it, and then took more holiday pictures, and handed the film in, and got them back, and they were just left. They were just all in there.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
All the naughties.
But you know they'd looked, because there was one afterwards, which was like a tabletop mountain or something in Cape, and a little sticker saying, blurry. So you know they've gone through it.
That's just them going, we know.
Yeah.
Okay. But you can't take photos of yourself while fucking, though, can you? I mean,
it's... okay.
Anyway, we'll say that for another time.
Good. Well, that's dad chat done.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I know. Let's play a game.
Yes, please.
Let's play a game. So we're going to play a game. We have played it on the podcast before with another double act, Croft and Pierce.
Yeah.
That was Mrs. and Mrs. But we're going to play it. We're going to twist it up and play Mr. and Mr.
Modern.
Exciting times.
Which is fine.
So yes.
Yeah, we're fine with that.
It's just like the shit old quiz show, okay? I'm going to ask you a question and I'm going to ask you to write down what you think the other person's answer would be.
Gotcha. Okay, I'm so ready.
Okay. What is your partner's worst habit? So, Steve, what do you say your worst habit is?
I think I'm just never fucking wrong. I'm just never wrong.
Righteousness.
Arrogance.
Right, or, arrogance. Yeah.
Oh, that feeds
what have you put, Sam?
Calling me fat. That's, I think, is his worst habit, because he does it a lot. But also, that really feeds into him thinking he's always right.
Hard point. Okay, now, Sam, what do you think your worst habit is?
So, either farting or picking my nose. I'm going to say farting.
Oh, it's picking your nose.
Oh, no!
Oh, so close. Oh, I now wish I'd just written fat, because it would have been fun.
Yeah, that would be great. Yeah.
Fat
isn't a habit.
It is the way you do it.
I know what you're going to say. I don't need to. You can fill in the gaps.
What is your partner's favourite body part? So on themselves, what do they like most about their body? First of all, Sam, what do you think is your best body part?
My hair.
His hair.
Hair.
His
yeah,
hair.
Nice.
Okay. Easy. Point for Steve.
Point for Steve, yes. Check.
Steve, what do you think your best body part is?
I've got to think what I think you're going to say as well, and I think you think I'm a massive prick, so I'm going to say my mind. And I think you're going to...
I hate your mind.
No, I know, but I just
it calls me fat.
Yeah.
The other day, you thought you had a really nice arse.
I have got a nice arse.
Oh, you should have put that then, you silly potato-headed fucking idiot.
I was playing too far. I was thinking what I think you'd
your
think
mind.
I'd say.
When am I ever going to write your mind about you?
I don't know.
Come on.
Okay. Who does your partner think should play them in a movie of their life? And who should... and two-parter, who should play them in the movie of their life? Oh. So who would they like to play them? Who actually should, in real life, play them in the movie?
Because there's no... I mean, because if there was actors as boring as you, you'd be a famous actor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Got it.
Okay. Steve thinks who should play him in the movie of his life?
Marshall Mathers III, Eminem.
And who should actually play Steve?
Steve McNeil. There's no one else for the job.
Yeah, I would never have said that Eminem should play me, but yeah, it would have to be me, because who else is going to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is your partner's favourite sexual position?
Oh, Christ.
I think.
I think I know what you're going to say.
Oh, God, is it... Okay, I've made my choice.
I mean, there's only two. I mean, it's...
There's only two.
Yeah.
There's only two.
Missionary and reverse missionary.
There's two sexual positions.
I'm going to go with it.
Mouth and vagina. No.
Steve, what is your favourite sexual position?
I assume Sam will say that my favourite sexual position is missionary.
No, because I don't think that's true.
Don't you?
What have you put?
Well, I put doggy style.
Did you know doggy? Oh, I thought you were not that big on doggy.
Oh, you're not me neither.
And I put doggy for you.
Oh, no!
We both think we like the doggy.
No, because your legs are bent. You can't get excited.
I don't like standing up. It's like work.
No.
Oh my God! What's your favourite, Sam?
Lady on top.
Oh, good.
Yeah,
I think it feels nice to go.
I don't like. I don't like repetitive pounding. Pound.
That's essentially sex.
I know, but you know, it just feels like lady on top. You've got a world of options.
Yeah.
Guy on top. Is she still breathing?
Well, there we go. At the end of that, Sam, you have 1 point, and Steve, you have 2 points.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense.
I wasn't
games.
Really.
He knows
fair.
You better.
Yeah.
That's it.
All right. Well, it's time to round off, as always, with the Scummy Mummy Confessions.
Ooh.
Now, Steve and or Sam, have you got a scummy confession you'd like to share with us?
My youngest Rex had a nosebleed. He had a cold, so he was sneezing a lot, and he was playing with his nose. He had a couple of nosebleeds during the day. So I've got both the kids in the bath, the 2.5-year-old and the 2-year-old and the 3.5-year-old. And Rex's nose starts bleeding again. And Emerson says, Daddy, Rex, his nose. I'm like, okay, fine. And then but I'm kind of pouring water over Rex's head. And it's got that thing where you're pouring water on blood. So you wipe it away, but then more as you wash it away, the water mixes with the blood. There's so much more. And he's played with his nose then. So now he's actually got a proper nosebleed, but he's also got water dripping down his head. And so now he looks like he's been...
He looks like Carrie.
And so my first thought is, oh, shit, where's my phone? So I get my phone because he looks amazing, like he's been in a fight. And he looks like a little boxer. So I start taking pictures of him bleeding.
To be clear, because you know he's fine and it's actually just...
Oh, he's fine. Yeah. He's like, blah, blah, blah. But then I suddenly realise there's another kid in the bath who's now sat in a bath that's got blood in it and his brother is bleeding. God, what am I doing? But I just wanted to get a picture of the blood.
I've got a confession. The other night I was Googling something, but for some reason a sex swing came up on
Were you googling sex swing?
No, okay. No, something else came up. It's like
she was googling swingers, and yeah. Then it just
anyway. So this funny sex swing came up, and like it's weird. It's basically just like ropes, and then you together. Who wants that? So I send it to Will at work because it's funny. Isn't it funny when you do that to your husband at work and then he goes, not here, not now. Anyway, so we were having a chat about it later, but I didn't realise that my son was in the other room.
Mm.
And he's really obsessed with Star Wars. And Will's like, oh, you, why don't you just send me that sex swing? And my son pipes up and said, who's getting an X-Wing? Who's getting an X-Wing?
Your son is now.
Yeah.
And yeah, so we're like, ah.
Oh.
They're always listening. They're always listening.
There's one. Well, there we go. That was Dearest. Amazing. Like.
Done.
Amazing scenes. So yeah, so plug time. So Dara O'Brien's Go 8-Bit Series 3 is on right now on Dave at 10 o'clock Monday nights. And then I think it's repeated in the week. It's Saturday.
Thursdays at 8.
Thursday. There we go. And you've got a podcast, you two. What's it called?
It's called Buffering with Steve and Sam. New episodes tend to go up on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
And it's just us having a chat about our weeks.
Having a good chat.
Answering some questions.
Great.
Steve's got all his Twitch stuff.
Yes, I was going to say. So, Steve, where can people watch your Twitch and your YouTube stuff?
On Twitch or YouTube, I am Steve from Go8Bit, all one word, and I'm on there every day doing video gaming things. So, if you like that, then come there, please.
There we go.
I'm at Sam Pavlon, and I will have a new, very exciting, crisp based podcast being released in the next few weeks.
Just about crisps?
Just about crisps.
He wouldn't even confirm that on our own podcast, but he's doing it. That's the plan that you guys have.
Are you sponsored by Walkers?
No.
Is he fuck?
Get me and Greg Wallace on. We'll have that argument about crisps all over again.
Which is exactly what we can do that.
I'm in. I'm going to be on the
crisps. I can talk about
podcast.
Australian crisps if you like.
Salt and vinegar discos. Yes.
But they're a poor ratio crisp because they're thicker than you remember, and only a few of them every now and then. Are we still recording? I can't get into this because this is the stuff.
This is the stuff. I can't get into it. But if you've just leant forward, do look out for Sam Pamphlon's new podcast.
I can't wait. What's it going to be called?
I can't reveal the title because we haven't quite secured the name yet.
All right.
I'm going to Australia next month, so I'll bring back an array.
Sorry, I was going to say it. We're going to own it. It's going to be called Desert Island Crisps.
Yes!
And our first guest is going to be Jade Adams.
Oh, I love it.
Excellent guest choice.
Thank you. Brilliant.
So hopefully it'll be out in the next couple of weeks.
Really excited about your crisp podcast.
Me too.
Do follow us at Scummy Mummies on all the things. Do come and see us at a live show, perhaps.
But book the tickets now because we're just selling out all over the country.
It's all kicking off.
Major tour. We're going to Belfast. We're going to...
Milton Keynes.
We're going to Winchester.
You're doing Bristol?
Yes.
Where are you playing at Bristol?
The Redgrave.
That sounds really posh.
I mean, Vanessa herself runs it.
That's right.
She does the bar.
Yeah. Half-time ice creams.
Yeah. Yes. So do check scummymummies.com for all the dates and links to buy tickets and all that jazz. Our book is still in print.
Still available.
Still in my toilet. I still read it when I'm having a poo.
This is it. We're so sick.
I still dip in.
It's great. My wife loves it. My wife genuinely loves your book.
Steve and Sam, thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Well, it's been a dream.
Until next time.
Bye-bye.
So, if you've got, let's say, in a parallel universe, you get a free pass from your wife to have sex with any celebrity, living or dead, who would you choose?
Oh, no.
What is it?
Calman. I'm absolutely in love with Calman.
Susan Calman.
If I could be with anyone, it'd be with Susan Calman.
Why wouldn't you? She's so good.
I love
Shag Calman.
I shag the shit out of Calman.
You've never told me that.
I love her so much. I love Susan Calman so much.
Really?
I think she's amazing. I love Susan Cameron.
I did not know that. I'm so good at talking about her.
What about you, Sam? Who's your...
Kate Moss. Anytime.
Right. Ellie?
Preferably... Anytime when she's out on the piss.
I find it very hard to turn Elba down. Very hard. Elba, are you?
Do you not think he's not that good at acting?
Do you think I...
Luther! What are you talking about?
Do you think I'm interested
in... He's a very handsome man.
Oh.
Yes.
That's coins off his tits, Sam. Come on.
You can bounce tits off his tits.
I bet that's his thing. Anything off his tits. Yeah.
Good.
What a man.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style. Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.